It's live expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. I can hardly believe it, but we are now just a couple of days before Christmas. It's very exciting. And normally we would talk about all the great deals that are not out there this year, although actually having been to the I nearly passed out at the department stores last week. I was wandering around Lenox, and it was just so packed and crazed that I thought, I have to get out of here. I had a moment of panic. So I came out and went right back to where is my comfort zone, and I'm sure you're all glad about that, which is money and taxes. And so today we're going to talk about what you can do before the end of the year in order to minimize how painful next April 15th is going to be. We're also going to talk about the fiscal cliff. There's been some movement this week. It looks like an outline of a deal has emerged, and we have... I think folks in Washington, D.C. scrambling pretty hard to try and make something happen before the end of the year. It actually makes me feel good, though, that they're working so hard on it, doesn't it? I think it does. So let me give you some other information that you're going to need. We are tweeting at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter online at thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. We're going to be announcing some very cool things at the beginning of the year in January. Would love to have you on the newsletter list or following me on Twitter so that you are part of that conversation. And whatever cool deals, discounts, events, who knows what's going to come up in the world of Glink 2013. You'll be a part of it, and you'll find out just at the beginning. Because, you know, whatever we do, the best deals are going to happen right when we announce it. Also, we will be posting some information about the show online because we know taxes are complicated, and we want you to have all of this information in your hip pocket because you're just going to have a few days after Christmas and then one day the following week to really get everything going before the end of the year. So we're doing the show now. I can't imagine the 24th anybody's going to be doing anything other than shopping. 25th, everything's closed, so you've got the 26th, 27th, 28th, and the 31st to pretty much get it all organized. So, that said, let me introduce our fabulous tax team. We have Bill Nemeth, an enrolled agent, Georgia Association of Enrolled Agents, and he's been doing taxes for I don't even know how many years. We have Mary Brody with us again, also an enrolled agent, and Chet Burgess, an enrolled agent, all of them working very hard on your behalf with the Georgia Association of Enrolled Agents, and you can find an enrolled agent who's licensed to represent you, a taxpayer, before the IRS if you go to 4GAEA.org. And you can also go and find a CPA. They can do the same things, too. Bill, Mary, and Chet, welcome back to the show.
Hi.
Thank you.
So we know that Bill's fighting a little bit of a cold, so if you heard an occasional cough or sneeze, that's what that is. I hope you're feeling better.
Me too.
Let's start at where I think everybody wants us to go, which is what the heck is going on? The poor IRS people, it's hard to feel sorry for the IRS, right? All those tax people and just collecting our money. And yet I find myself feeling a little charitable towards them this year as everybody sits and waits and watches to see what's going to happen. Because we know taxes are going up. If you make money, taxes are going up. We just don't know how high, and we don't know in what area. And the poor guys who do all the forms are just sitting there going, it's just going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. So how do we dig in? Bill, do you want to lead us off?
Well, we know a lot of things for sure. The payroll tax holiday is not getting any traction. So starting in 2013, everybody's paycheck is going to go down a little bit because they're going to be paying their full share of Social Security and Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, depending on how Congress fights it out, the marriage penalty comes back. And a number of other things, extenders.
I'm just going to have to just jump in and say, first of all, how much is the payroll tax going to go? It's about $600 to $1,000. Is that where it's
2% that 2%. They had cut. So on $50,000, it's going to be $1,000.
So that's pretty significant for people making $50,000 a year.
Yeah, it really is. And it comes right out of the paycheck, so they're not going to see it. Their paycheck actually is going to go down.
All right, so we've got a marriage penalty coming back, which always strikes me as hilarious, since everybody in Washington is always like, marriage, marriage, marriage. Like, you love marriage, but we're going to tax you a little bit more for it. What is the marriage penalty? What does it look like it's going to be this year?
Basically, what it was for a long time is that if two single people filed, they paid taxes. If they filed jointly, they actually paid about a third more taxes, and that's what's coming back. Basically,
so if you're, let's see, if you're married and you work for a living, it's a third more taxes plus $1,000 you're never going to see.
Right, right.
Right. What else is on the docket? What else do we know for sure? I'm going to end the show early, I think.
Well, I'll jump in for just a second. The one thing that has really got me bothered, and I don't see much press about it, is the alternative minimum tax.
Right. I mean, this is a huge thing that's now going to affect something like 30 million Americans.
Yes, ma'am. It will affect almost everyone, particularly people or families who have a great number of children.
What's a great number? More than two?
Probably three or more.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that?
Well, ever since they began the AMT, or the alternative minimum tax, many, many years ago, they when they put it together, it was not indexed for inflation, which means that the thresholds have stayed low for many, many years. And Congress has been in the habit of every year waiting till the last minute to index the income levels. They haven't done that yet for 2012, and that will affect everyone going forward if they don't do it again.
So how much revenue are we talking? Do you have any idea how much revenue we're talking about? I mean, when you start talking about 30 million people, even if it's $1,000, it starts to become a serious amount of money.
Yeah, I don't have an exact figure at hand, but it's a potential billion. You know, it's a billions.
Billions of dollars.
If they don't index it. And that's for 2012.
Right.
That'll show up on the tax returns.
That starts right now.
Yeah. If they don't pass the patch.
All right. Is that something that's being talked about?
I have seen nobody talk about
Nobody's talking about it.
It's supposedly included in one or both of the proposals, you know, the White House and the congressional proposal. But they haven't said specifically that, yes, it's in there. And I also have seen nothing publicly released about the amount of the exclusion. What the patch actually is, the exclusion amount.
Right.
A certain amount of your income is not subject to AMT, and the rest is. And
it's so, like 25%, I think. It tries to get you to pay at least 25%. And it used to be for millionaires. It was like if you had $1 million of income, they just assumed that you were like some of the more visible elected officials who are only paying like 14%, and it wanted to make sure that you were going to actually pay 25% at least how, as I remember how it was originally constructed.
There are actually two rates. They're 26 and 28.
26 and 28.
But the AMT is a parallel tax that we actually compute. If you use tax software, the software is computing your regular income tax and your AMT simultaneously, and you pay whichever is higher.
Right.
And we're the people the AMT tends to nail are higher income folks, as Mary mentioned, who have lots of children or other dependents, or people who live in higher tax states. And the reasons for that are that the personal exemption amount and state and local sales and income taxes are not allowed as deductions against the AMT. They're called preference items, in quotes. So
depressing.
Well, it is, and you add all those things together. That's why, for example, you see people saying that if the top rates go to 39.6 next year and all the other things happen, small business owners in California will be looking at combined federal and state income entity taxes and payroll taxes approaching 70%.
Wow. Well, no wonder we've seen some people just exit the Sunshine. Well, they're not the Sunshine State, the California, to go to Florida.
Yeah, we're lucky here in Georgia. Our tax rates are a lot lower. But so this is all. And one of the things that this problems this causes is the IRS likes to nail down the tax forms by early November.
Right.
Because traditionally that's when they send the order to the printers for all the forms and booklets you'll pick up at the post office. And that allows the tax software publishers, you know, to lock down their programming. And so if you look at the IRS website this year, there's still a bunch of forms that are marked draft as of November 13th, including the main 1040 and the Schedule A.
And there's a lot of references in it that just say reserved or see instructions or whatever.
Yeah, on the 1040, there are two at the bottom of the front where you have the educators.
Right, that's going away, right?
Or the student or the tuition and fees deduction on lines 23 and 34, they're just marked reserved right now.
Right. So what else? All right, this is all requires a little bit more conversation about this, but... So we've got, let's just add it up a little bit. Payroll tax holiday, that's getting out of there. Marriage penalty, we still don't have a solution for that. The alternative minimum tax. Educators, 250 deduction, I thought I read that that was going away as well.
It is. That's
right,
why
that's
that line's marked reserved. So
all
educators,
right.
Tuition and fees.
Yep.
The
what
state
else?
And local income tax deduction on schedule, or state and local sales tax deduction on Schedule A, if you don't have any income tax withholding, that's gone right now. That's in the extenders. And the mortgage insurance premium is also, deduction is also gone unless they reenact it.
But, and that affects right now. That's the 2012 tax return
right.
that all of those affect.
Right. So the one that we're going to do
exactly.
in April.
Right.
Yeah.
So the mortgage insurance premium was pretty interesting when they did it, and that was to just try and level the playing field for people who were doing sort of an 80-20 piggyback loan where they could write off all of the interest instead of the mortgage interest instead of having mortgage insurance premium. I think that's pretty much what they were looking for.
Uh-huh.
And that's going away. Okay. And then we've got a bunch of deductions that I think are really hanging by a thread. I have not, even though the real estate lobby is the strongest lobby in Washington, I don't think they're going to get through the mortgage deduction for homeowners who are over. I think the new number bandied about is $400,000 in income. That's what I saw this week.
So you're saying that people who would not be allowed to deduct their mortgage interest?
Yes. That is what I'm seeing. Are you guys seeing that?
Or there may be a limit to the amount you can deduct. And,
right.
and those are details. If you look at all the news coverage of the president's latest proposal and Speaker Boehner's so-called Plan B, it only says that both would also allow some tax breaks to be limited, but doesn't specify which breaks.
So you know what's interesting about that is I think it's already limited, right? I mean, if you make too much money, or your deductions are kind of out of whack, I mean, that you're limited on how much you can write off anyway.
Oh, absolutely. We often joke, how many houses does Madonna write off? And the answer is none, because she's all in AMT. It doesn't matter.
Right. I mean, I think about even at ours. First of all, most people who are wealthy, I have to imagine you've taken your head out of the sand and you've refinanced, which means you're paying somewhere around 2.5% to 3% on your loan anyway, which means you're almost paying no interest. So I'm not exactly sure how much that would be able to be written off is the first piece. I think that's the value of that deduction has fallen dramatically given that so many Americans have now refinanced their homes. And that really speaks to everything we've talked about this year. But mortgage interest rates continuing to stay low well into 2015 or until, you know, as Ben Bernanke said last week, until the employment level is down to about 6.5-6.6%. So that isn't going to happen anytime soon.
But, you know, as you're talking about those deductions on your itemized, your Schedule A, for the last 2 years, we've had a holiday, so to speak, from the limitation that's always been on there. If you made too much money, even though you had mortgage interest and charity and real estate taxes, you weren't allowed to deduct all of it. It was limited to some fashion. But the last 2 years, we've had a holiday from that. Everybody got every dollar they tried to deduct.
Well, I don't know if we fully appreciated how fabulous it all was, Mary.
Exactly.
All right.
But that's gone away.
It's gone away. Wow. More taxes going up. All right. So we have just a bad news tax situation, no matter what's happening, and it requires more conversation. So we're going to be back in just a moment with Bill Nemeth, Mary Brody, and Chuck Burgess, all of them enrolled agents. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. We're going to hear a little bit from Rhonda Duffy coming up next, and then back to tax after news. Stay tuned. This is the Elise Kling Show on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. We're going to do more tax in just a moment here on News Talk WSB. But first, it's time for Real Estate Insight with Rhonda Duffy of Duffy Realty of Atlanta. Rhonda, welcome back.
Thanks, and let's talk about something better than taxes, right?
Oh, I don't know. Everybody loves our tax show. But I'll tell you what I do want to talk about today. I want to talk about lifestyle and what buyers are really doing when they go out and they buy. Because a lot of buyers think they're buying a house, but they're really not, are they?
No. And you know what's better than taxes?
A safe
place that you love to be in. And that's where the seller has to present their product as the safe place that they love to relax in.
Or
so
have
family time in. You know, so many people take pictures of their property and they miss taking the swimming pool, the tennis court, the community center, whatever is available in their neighborhood that would promote lifestyle. But they also miss showing the activity of what would be happening in that home. And we all know that we don't stand up in our home. We might stand up in our kitchen, but when we're in our family room, we're sitting down and we're looking around, okay? So I encourage people to take pictures of where they utilize their time, where they spend their time, what they're really going to miss about their house, as well as one secondary thing to that, and we'll talk about this in a later show as well, but you know, you want to, if you have a game area, you want to make it as active game play. So that would mean that you would have the board game out. It would look like somebody just got up from playing and moved on. Does that make sense?
It does. It's sort of interesting though, because it kind of flies in the face of that, the idea that everything should look like, you know, an HGTV television show, right?
Well, you can have pictures that look like HGTV, but the reality for most people sets in on how am I going to enjoy that? I don't even look like I that's too clean for me. I don't even look like I could be in that house. So you have to create some active space as well. I'm not saying that you get up from my daughter cooking in the kitchen and just leave it and say, take a picture. I'm just saying if there's a place where you enjoy family time, make it an active play center.
It's a great insight. Rhonda Duffy of Duffy Realty Atlanta. Hey, have you got stuff on your blog about
this? Yes, I do. RhondaDuffy.com.
All right. Everybody, go check it out. RhondaDuffy.com. I'm Elise Klink. We'll do another Real Estate Insight next week. Thanks for joining us.
See you then.
You bet. We'll be right back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find Elise Klink live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Klink Show. It's taxes. It's 2 days before Christmas. You're probably not really thinking about taxes, but we want you to, because there is so much going on. In fact, in the 12 or 13 years or however long I've been filling in now for Clark Howard, I can't remember a year when so much was up in the air this close to the end, where the consequences of what's going on in Washington are going to smack you right in the wallet. And it doesn't really matter which way we go. As I've been saying all year long, we fall off the fiscal cliff, it's going to be really expensive, and it's going to send us into a recession. If we don't fall off the fiscal cliff and we actually have a deal worked out between the Republicans and Democrats, it's going to hit you in the wallet. You are going to pay more in taxes next year. So what we wanted to do today is a little show, just a little bit of a help. This is, think of it as our Christmas tax gift to you, where we're at least going to try and clear up some of the confusion and allow you to understand what you can do before the end of the year. And we're talking about 4 days, right? The 26th, 27th, 28th. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week, after Christmas, after the hangover passes, and then Monday and part of Tuesday on the 31st, that you can do to make next April 15th a little bit easier. So we've brought back our tax experts, Bill Nemeth, Mary Brody, and Chet Burgess. You can find Bill at AOL.com, WG Nemeth at AOL.com, Mary Brody at AOL.com, and Chet Burgess at BrookwoodTax.com. I'm going to have all of that information up on the ThinkLink.com website. Check out today's blog post. Just hit blog. You'll go to the post. You'll see their information. You'll see some of the stuff, information on some of the things we've talked about. And unfortunately, we won't get the show up until probably later in the week. So if you're looking on iTunes and trying to go back and get some notes, I'll try and do some more extensive notes for you today, simply because we're not going to be able to get it up for you because of the holiday at the station. All right. We left you at just talking about if you made too much money and you weren't going to be allowed to have all the deductions, and did everybody remember that, frankly, the limitations on deductions went away the last 2 years? I forgot that. No wonder my deductions seem so, I don't know.
Healthy?
Healthy. That's the word.
Robust.
Healthy. But that's going to go away as well. So I want to just recap for everybody just joining us now, probably getting out of church, feeling really good. Let's recap where we're going to be next year. Let's see. There's the payroll tax holiday, not gaining any traction in D.C. That's going to be cut. If you earn $50,000 a year, you're going to be paying an extra grand to the IRS. It comes right out of your paycheck. So your paycheck is going down a little bit. Marriage penalty seems to be coming back. You basically pay a third more in taxes for the privilege of being married. We haven't seen anything on that. Alternative minimum tax could hit as many as 30 million plus Americans. And that's going to be a problem, particularly if you live in California, for those of my listeners on the West Coast. The educator's deduction going away, tuition and fees, and now this little holiday from the deductions of your scheduled deductions, that's going away as well. Boy, what other good news do we have for folks today?
Actually, Elise, I do have good news.
All right, let's hear it.
The itemized deduction limitation, the so-called Pease Amendment, named mm-hmm. after the congressman who passed it, that actually doesn't kick back in until 2013.
Okay.
So we will have, you know, the deductions without limitations one more time for 2012. So that is good news.
Right, but it's such a small piece for, and only certain people can actually... Well, I mean, everybody else, most Americans are already getting it without a limitation, right?
Because it's income-based. Depending on income, you know, some people under the Pease limitation lose as much as 80% of their itemized deductions. So,
and it didn't affect just itemized deductions. It was also the personal exemptions it phased out, too.
That's right, the personal exemptions.
Right.
So, again, the large family in 2012-13 is going to have a double whammy there from... From AMT and from this limitation.
But in the meantime, they may still be hit with the AMT, even if there's not a limitation, which effectively puts in a limitation.
Because we don't know what they're going to do with AMT because they haven't done it yet.
All right, let's move on. What else are we looking at in terms of changes from what we know, even just from the latest round of negotiations that went on this week? What else are you guys thinking is going to change?
Well, two things we do know for sure are because of the Affordable Health Care Act,
mm-hmm.
will kick in 2013. The first is a 0.9% additional tax on Medicare. They're saying for Medicare on earned income, and mm-hmm. that will be for singles income over 200,000, married couples income over 250,000.
And that happens right at the payroll level.
At the payroll level. That mm-hmm. comes right out. As soon as they hit, the instructions employers have been given, as soon as an employee hits 200,000, they start withholding that 0.9%. Now, that's going to be tricky for two income couples. Because let's say you've got two couples, each of whom earns 175,000. Combined, they're way over the 250. But neither one of them individually hits 200. So neither employer will do any withholding. They'll get hit with that when they
have to pay in April.
So let's think about that. So if you're earning about, let's say you're earning $199,000, so it's about 1%, so it's about $1,900.
Well, it doesn't kick in until you hit the $200,000 level. Then it's your income above $200,000.
All right. So if you're each earning $199,000 or $398,000,
then correct, it'll be about 1900.
So it'll be 1900 bucks.
On that couple.
And the threshold for married filing joint is 250, so on the tax return they'll calculate their excess income over 250 times the 0.9%.
And so they may actually get a small refund from
So it's like 1400 for that mythical couple or each earning 199,000 or 398.
Right.
So it's 250 to 398, so the difference would be about 14.
But that's, that's definite. We know that's in the health care law.
All right.
And that's going to happen. And then Bill's got the biggie. It's sitting in front of him in his notes.
Yeah, it's the net investment income tax, the NIIT, which is part of ACA. It's going to raise 50% of the revenue of Obamacare. It's effective 1/1/2013.
Okay.
3.8% rate to certain net investment income of individuals, estates, and trusts. And the thresholds are not indexed for inflation, so Congress is going to punish people over time with both this tax and the one we were just talking about, the additional Medicare tax. They also are not indexed for inflation. And the number that they're looking at for the threshold amount, married filing jointly, $250,000.
So that's interesting, because now the number we're hearing for all this stuff is $400,000 out of D.C. this week. Incomes over $400,000, but this is not... This isn't going to change. This is a different law.
No, right. This is already an established law that has survived Supreme Court review.
Right. So this isn't going to change, and it's not indexed over time. So we're probably safe for about 5 to 7 years, because we really don't have inflation right now. I mean, we do on anything that normal people buy. But, you know, the official basket of goods doesn't seem to be ever going up in value. So... That's just, I mean, probably 3, 4, 5 years we're okay, but boy, if we get big-time inflation, that could be a huge problem, I imagine.
There's the other consideration. People who, for whatever reason, maybe their second marriage, they keep their finances separate. They also file separately for various reasons. That threshold is $125,000 of net investment income, which is, you know, for some people is a relatively low number, so they will be severely punished on their investments. And the same thing if they're selling a home and are lucky enough to have a big profit that is, you know, less, they have a profit more than the $500,000 Section 121 exclusion, yes, they are going to be paying that 3.8% surcharge on the sale of their home, perhaps.
On the amount over $500,000.
Yep.
So if you have an extra $200,000, you're going to pay about $8,000. Right. If you sell it for $700,000, you exclude the $500,000.
Yeah, $7,600.
About $7,600. Okay. Well, that's a lot of money. That's serious money. Although, if you're pocketing $700,000, not bad. Hopefully, your mortgage, you're not under. Well,
yeah.
We could talk about the underwater. In fact, why don't we talk about that? So, one of the big things that is happening at the end of this year is the forgiveness, the Mortgage Forgiveness Act, or whatever act that was part of, which I can no longer remember, where you, if you were underwater and sold your home in a short sale or went into foreclosure, that part that was forgiven by the lender should have been taxed as income by the IRS or as a gift, and has not been through the end of this year. And yet, there's no talk in Washington about extending it that I've heard. Have you guys heard anything?
No, I've heard a number of people mention it, and it really concerns me, because you're hitting someone who's down and out with a big tax bill, because that forgiveness of debt from a short sale is going to be fully taxable income. And it just seems like you're hitting someone very hard when they're down.
Well, I just can't even imagine how that's not going to be extended, but that isn't anywhere in the discussion that I've been able to see, and that is one thing that we're watching quite a bit. And we are hearing from the real estate lobby on it. They're very concerned what that means for people about leaving their homes or wanting to leave their homes, not wanting to leave their homes and change, right? Real estate agents only make money when people make a change. So that's a concern. But also, you could just imagine that if you have another couple of million homes that are going to go through foreclosure in this, and if we have a recession, that number is just going to go up. So there are some estimates that we have another 2 to 5 million people who are going to go through some form of short sale or foreclosure. If all of them have huge tax debts tied to them for the next 10 years, what that's going to do to depress the economy further. I mean, it's a serious number of people who are, quote-unquote, in that sort of middle-income area, maybe earning $50,000 to $75,000 or even $100,000 a year, but now you've got a $40,000 tax debt that you got to eat away at.
Exactly.
It's crazy. All right, we have to take a short break. When we come back, there's some more good news about taxes. You probably want to be picking up the phone right now. It's Sunday, but calling everybody you know in Washington and letting them know you'd like some clarity on the situation, so would we. We will be right back. We've got Bill Nemeth with us and Mary Brody and Chet Burgess, all of them enrolled agents. You can find them and find other enrolled agents at number4GAEA.org. It's the Georgia Association of Enrolled Agents, 4GAEA.org. And for sure, go to thinkglink.com and click on today's blog. We're going to have all of their contact information, some notes and details about what we're talking about today. It's a long document, but I know you're going to find some help there. We're also going to link you to the IRS site that you need. All right? We'll be back in a moment. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned to News Talk WSB. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. It is just 2 days before Christmas, and it's time to talk taxes. So we have Bill Nemeth and Mary Brody and Chet Burgess with us, all of them enrolled agents. We're going to have all of their information up on my website, thinkglink.com. Click on the blog. You'll find their contact information if you have questions and also a list of some of the things we've talked about today. So I wanted to get, before we get to the top of the hour, I definitely want to talk about the capital gains rate changes and what's going on with qualified dividends. What does everybody need to know here?
Well, qualified dividends are going away. They're good through 2013, but next year they will go away. And when I explain this to my clients, I say that the part of the dividend that you get could be qualified for the better tax rate. In other words, that portion of your dividend got the capital gains rates, and tied into that, of course, our capital gains rates are going up. But for 2013, qualified dividends are going to be taxed as ordinary income, just like all the rest of your dividends, and that's going to hurt.
Now, is this qualified dividends? This is the stuff that, like, Mitt Romney had a lot of, right?
I'm sure.
Isn't that what this is?
I'm sure.
These hedge fund managers who have somehow, you know, huge amounts of income, and yet doesn't count as income.
Well, yeah. Also, your traditional widows and orphans, too.
Ah.
And at the lowest end, they were taxed at 0%.
Right. Uh-huh. And so that's now going to be ordinary income. But if you have, like, very little income, you're not really going to be paying any income tax on it.
Not much.
No. Okay. Well, that's not so fun for widows and orphans. Hopefully that's not going to happen too much for them. What about the capital gains rate? What's that going to be?
Well, the capital gains rate for most people is 15% in 2012, and it's going to go up. It looks like in the plans, both the White House and congressional plan, to 20% for most people. And then, of course, the high incomers will add that 3.8% to that we talked about next year in 2013.
You know, it seems like taxes are going up pretty significantly and everybody's going to be hurt. Can you think of anybody who's not going to be hurt?
Off the top of my head, I really can't.
Deafening
right.
Silence.
So it's really a shared, it's sort of a shared experience we're all going to have together. It's just that the level of pain is going to vary.
Right. Exactly, yeah.
Oh. Well, something to look forward to. All right, we're going to look forward right now to news, weather, and traffic. And when we come back, I want to get to a list of things you specifically can do over the next 4 days or 5 days before the end of the year to make sure that your next April 15th, which we were just discussing offline, might actually be June. We'll talk about that, too. There may be extra time built in for everybody, including the IRS and you, to do your taxes this year. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more in a moment on News Talk WSB.
95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. It's 2 days before Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. Go to my website, thinkglink.com. Click on today's blog post. There's a special message for you, along with all this information from our three guests. We're doing our annual tax show. What you need to do in the 4 or 5 days that are left, I don't know if you're going to count New Year's Eve. Some people start celebrating early. In order to get your taxes for next year in order, although as we've been talking over the last hour, it occurs to me that there may be nothing that you can do before the end of the year that will help. But we're going to explore that this hour. We're also going to talk about tax fraud. It has reached biblical proportions, and the IRS is taking some steps that it will change how quickly you get your refund. So if you're one of those people who files first and you're waiting to get your refund 10 days later, you may be waiting a whole lot longer. So we're going to talk about that. You're going to stay tuned. On the website, I'll have some highlights and notes from today's show, because I know that many of you are going to catch some of it, want to have more of it, and I'm not quite sure when today's show is actually going to get posted online or in iTunes. So I want to make sure you have as much of this information as possible. So I'm going to take the time and do a very detailed show note list today after we're done, so that when you go to the website, links are there to the IRS. You're going to find Bill Nemeth, Mary Brody, and Chet Burgess, their contact information, email address if you've got quick questions for them. and all the rest of the information. You'll also want to follow us on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And before we even get started, I'm going to tell you that we have an amazing tax section at the Equifax Finance blog that another enrolled agent, Eva Rosenberg from California, has been writing for us. And we've had some very, very good post on the end of the Bush tax cut, what they mean, links there for you to follow, some very detailed, helpful information. So just go to Equifax.com, click on where it says Finance Blog, or you can go to blog.equifax.com, or heck, just go to Elise Glink somewhere. Go to ThinkLink in the ThinkLink community, and we'll point you in the right direction. All right, so much to talk about. We have, I want to get to, there's just never going to be enough time. But Bill, Mary, and Chet, we were just talking offline about something that we didn't get to last hour, and that is the Earned Income Tax Credit. So let's give everybody a quick definition of what that is and the changes that are definitely coming down the pike. Because even at this level, and I want to just stress, because in the election there was a lot of talk about how some people don't pay any taxes. Let me reassure you, everybody listening to this show, everybody that we can imagine, except maybe your five-year-old, is going to pay more in taxes next year and this year, and you're going to need to know how you're going to get hit. And it isn't just a matter of some people being excluded. My sense from what we're doing is if you earn income, you are paying more in taxes into the pot this year, and we just want to help you out. So let's go back to Earned Income Tax Credit. How is that changing?
In 2012, we still have the benefit of the government allowing up to three children for earned income tax credit. And if you take a single mom making on the order of $20,000 and happens to have three young children, she is going to get a stipend from the government of almost $6,000 of earned income tax credit. EIC is what they traditionally call it. In addition, today, if the children are under 17, she may qualify for up to $3,000 of child tax credit or additional child tax credit because she has no taxable income. That's where we are today. Going into 2013, the number of children qualifying for EIC is going to drop back to two as of today. And the child tax credit, which today is $1,000 per qualifying child, drops to $500. And there is no additional child tax credit until you have three or more children on your return. So it is really devastating to the folks that have become accustomed to getting a very handsome refund early in the year.
Right. That mother you mentioned would lose like roughly $3,000 in 2013 with exactly the same income if they don't change the law.
And I haven't heard anything about changing that law, have you?
Not so far, no.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to stand. And that's going to really hurt, right? When you take, somebody's making $20,000 a year and you take $3,000 away from them, it hurts.
Absolutely.
It absolutely hurts. Okay, so that's another pain point that I think we're going to be seeing. And then the early filers, let's dig into the whole fraud situation. You've got tax identity theft, child identity theft. You've got medical identity theft, all of which could play into your taxes at the end of the year. I think, Chet, you were talking about the changes that the IRS is going through with the anti-fraud filters. Do you want to fill us in on that? Was that you?
Right, yes. Yeah. The IRS has paid out billions in fraudulent refunds because of identity theft over the last few years. And essentially how the scam works, the fraudster manages to obtain the Social Security number and name of a legitimate taxpayer. The fraudster prepares a tax return, usually with a phony W-2 showing considerable withholding, and files it as that taxpayer at a new address. And using e-file and sometimes even direct deposit or a debit card, within 10 to 14 days, they've got their phony money back and they're gone. And then a month or two later, that taxpayer files his or her real tax return and it gets rejected, and then they have to go through a long ordeal that can take up to a year to prove to the IRS that they are who they say they are and to get their legitimate refund. So what the IRS has stated to tax professionals for this year, they are putting additional what they call fraud filters into the tax return processing system for identity theft and other types of fraud, too, EIC fraud and others. And they've warned us that many taxpayers will find their refunds delayed by weeks or even months because of the fraud filters.
Well, okay, so the people who I think need this money the most are the ones who usually file, like when the IRS opens for business, sometime around mid-January. First of all, do we think the IRS is actually going to open for business in mid-January?
Well, typically it was January 13th to 15th. This year it is January 22nd, which is late in and of itself, for the day after Martin Luther King Day.
Okay.
And that's if everything comes together in Congress. So they may, in fact, have to delay that date if Congress changes the law too late for them to react.
All right. So the fact that they're already opening a week later is something. But we know that we don't even have forms yet. So how would anybody even be able to file by January 22nd?
Well,
here we are on the 23rd of December, and we still don't have forms.
They may not be able to. It may work one of two ways. They may allow you to go ahead and file your return, but if certain forms have not been locked down because of late changes, you know, by the Congress and the White House, they may not be able to process returns with that form until they get the computers reprogrammed.
Okay.
So one option would be you can go ahead and send your return in and they'll hold it. The other option, the second option, the IRS may just say, tax returns with these forms, don't send them to us until we tell you we're ready. And if you try to electronically file a return with that form, it'll be rejected.
A couple of years ago, they did the same thing. Congress reacted late, and it wasn't until Valentine's Day that you were allowed to file, I think, with itemized deductions.
Yeah, Schedule A.
Right, which is really sort of amazing. I can't even imagine the machine that's going on at the IRS that would be just sort of trying to figure out, because it's one thing to pass the general outlines of a deal, right? You can't imagine President Obama and Speaker Boehner are sitting there in the White House or wherever the heck. I think he went to the White House this week, which is progress. Instead of like neutral ground, he actually just went over to the House. You can imagine them sitting there and getting the sort of finer points of a deal, but they're talking about maybe 10 or 15 high points. I can't see them sitting there with a pound of paper going through the details and writing the rules for all this stuff, right?
Well, once they get up from the table and start shaking hands and say, okay, we've got a deal, it's going to take weeks before the whole infrastructure comes through. Well, think about every piece of tax software out there, the TurboTax and all the different ones that are generated for individual filers. If you buy that software and use it, you better hit the update button about every other day and make sure you even update it after you filed, because something may have changed.
So this is another question that I think people are asking, which is that it's one thing to sort of figure, okay, we know where we are, and now it's maybe we've waited all of us till February or March to actually file our taxes or begin the filing process. And we'd said offline that it's conceivable that the IRS will take April 15th and suddenly make it June 15th. Is that right?
It's on the table, and part of it is Superstorm Sandy that messed everything up in the Northeast.
So what's happening there? I mean, is that they just, did they get flooded out? I didn't even think about that.
Well, they got extra days if there were a small business, for example, and had certain forms due during that period or soon thereafter, they gave an extension to everyone in that area to file their returns.
All right, so that's another whole issue, and that did hit the East. So it occurs to me that if you file, let's say, in February, but the final rules haven't been written, you're saying keep updating your form. Does the software let you know that you have to file an amendment, or if you have to an amended return? I mean, what is the obligation to the taxpayer once you think you filed a return? Do you have to just stay on top of it and keep filing amended returns?
Well, if you're intelligent enough to know how the thing works, yeah, you could. But the way it really is going to work is you file and the software didn't match the IRS rules, the IRS will send you a letter adjusting your refund or increasing the amount you owe.
Okay.
And they do that all the time because there's still 20% of the people that do it paper and pencil. And we see those letters all the time.
But frankly, we get a lot of letters from the IRS where they've tweaked their computers to look for something and it's been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the letters you get from the IRS are not correct.
Yeah, so we always recommend, if you get a letter from the IRS, take it to a tax professional and have them review it. It likely isn't correct, and a lot of times there are no change. But the elderly will get that letter and have the check written the same day and get it in the mail when they don't, in fact, owe the money.
I've had that happen myself, where we've gotten a letter from the IRS. It was for a, and sometimes it's right. I mean, I think 1 year we were late filing our 5500 for the company, and they tax, I don't know what it was, like a $200 penalty or something. We were late. We owed it. But there was another letter that came in that said we owed something like $5,000. And I said to Sam, I just don't understand how we could have been that off. And it turned out, not only did we not owe it, but we, I think, got 42 cents back or something. It was just, it was totally not worth anybody's time, including the IRS, you know, to issue us a check for 42 cents. But we will always take money when people write us checks.
Common scenario is when you sell a stock, bond, or mutual fund.
Yep.
And people sometimes forget to report that. And it can even be from Treasury Direct if you're buying T-bills from Treasury Direct.
Right.
You need to report when that matures on Schedule D, even though you may get exactly the money back that you paid for it, so there's no gain, but you do need to report it. And the IRS computers in the past haven't had basis in it, so they assume the whole thing is taxable, and that generates the letter.
Got it. All right, well, when we come back, what I really want to talk about now is small business, because I have a small business, so this is all about me, and maybe the other 800 million people in the country. They can listen in as well. So, time for me to get some personal small business advice from you guys, and everybody else can just listen in, but I think things are changing dramatically. We keep hearing about how small business is going to be really dramatically hurt. So let's understand what we're facing this year. I'm Elise Glink. We're doing our tax show. Merry Christmas in 2 days. Happy New Year and a few others. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the show. So Christmas is in 2 days. We're doing our tax show because, let's count, there's the 26th, 27th, 28th, 30th and 31st. And I know the 24th, everything is open for business, but I'm just sort of doubting that you're going to be out there worrying about your taxes tomorrow. So we're trying to hear to give you some really great information. So what you can do to lower your taxes for next year, or at least, since it seems like everybody's going to pay more, at least make it an easier process overall. So we've got our three tax experts in the studio with us, Bill Nemeth, Mary Brody, and Chet Burgess. We have been talking about all kinds of things that are changing. And what I've been doing during the show is I've got some good notes. We're going to put it all up at today's show notes. So I want you to go to thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Click on the blog. There are all kinds of notes there, links to the IRS, other places, Bill, Mary, and Chet's contact information, email, and cell phones, so you can give them a call. I know every time I say that, I quake in my boots thinking that they're just going to have way too many people calling, but it's fewer than you imagine. So if you have a serious question that needs to be answered before the end of the year, you'll have that contact information as well. When we come back, we're going to focus on small business, because I have a small business, so it's all about me and about you. I'm pretty sure most of my listeners out there are running businesses, and you're going to need to know this information. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to also talk about Georgia taxes and some things that are changing on a local level as well. I want you to have all of the information that you need to make super smart decisions when it comes to your taxes for the end of the year, and April 15th, even if April 15th becomes June 15th, which, as if you've been listening to the show, you know, is a distinct possibility. All right, stay tuned. We're going to do news, weather, and traffic, a little more Christmas music, and then we're going to come back and talk taxes here on News Talk WSB. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. 2 days before Christmas. I don't even know what happens 2 days before Christmas, but I do know what's happening right now. We are talking taxes. There are just a few days left before the end of the year, and I want to make sure that you have all the information you need in what is probably, in my years of covering this, the most confusing tax situation at the year end we have ever had. The last couple of years have been relatively quiet. We've had deals in place with Congress. Nothing, you know, was going to change. Well, now things are changing. They're changing big time. And all of us are going to pay more in taxes. No matter what you've heard, we're all going to pay more. It's just understanding what's coming down the pike so that you can get ready for it. In the studio with me, we have Bill Nemeth, Mary Brody, and Chet Burgess. All of them are enrolled agents. You can find them on my website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Go there. Click on the blog. Today's blog has a very special, detailed show note. All the tax information we've been talking about, all kinds of links, links to the Equifax Finance blog, where we've got an amazing tax section, which has great information on the Bush tax cuts, what's coming down the pike there. So we've got all kinds of resources for you, because I think this is the kind of year that really merits it. We know it's tough. I know you're going to have trouble, and I want you to have the very best information that I can find for you, and we put it up at thinklink.com. All right, we promised you small business and the Georgia tax situation this half hour. I want to dig right in. Mary, when we talk about small business and in California, I was stunned when you said that small business owners might get hit as much as 70% in taxes on their income. What can we expect in changes going forward?
Well, for small business people, there isn't anything too different. It's just that small business people who are sole proprietors or maybe the S-Corp shareholders will end up having profits from their business taxed at ordinary rates. So going forward, if the ordinary rates are all going to go up and we'll lose our lower tax brackets, we need to be looking seriously at how much profit we'll have for the year and what we can expect. Traditional wisdom at this moment says for 2012, if you can accelerate any of your income, do that. If you have money coming in from a customer, go ahead and get it and deposit it and show it in 2012 instead of 2013 when the rates will be worse.
What are they expected to be, the new rates? I know that they were talking about it going up to the Clinton era. Is that really what we're looking at?
Yeah, absolutely. We'd end up losing, and Chet, fix this if I'm wrong, we'll lose the 10% bracket altogether, won't we?
Yeah, absolutely. 10% goes away, so that's the low-income people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are going to get hit by an extra, you know, $500.
Everybody will lose that.
Income. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we start now at then 15%?
15%, then it goes to 28%, and it goes all the way up to 39.6%. And then you've got the extra surtax on,
right,
and a Medicare surtax, and then the investment income tax at 3.8%. Then you've got all your payroll taxes that you have to make as a sole proprietor. You have to pay your own Social Security and Medicare tax,
right,
which has all gone back up. So that's another 15.3%. And then
employees, you pay state and federal unemployment.
Mm-hmm. And then you're also paying state tax on top of all the federal tax. So you're looking at a pretty hefty bill there. I mean, it could be up to 60-65%.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say it's hard to be a small business owner, for sure. And worse is all the forms you have to file. But
so here are a couple specifics, Elise, just
all right,
to keep in mind. You know, one technique for a small business, especially if it looks like you're going to have a profitable year, maybe even a little more profitable than average, one technique has always been in December to run out and buy some business assets you can write off.
Right.
Right at the end of the year. Well, the ability to write off business assets has been crimped for 2012, for this year. In 2011, we had that bonus depreciation where we could write off 100% of the cost of a new business piece of property, like new equipment. And in 2012, the bonus depreciation allowance is only 50%.
Okay.
Gone down by half. And then there's that Section 179 expensing provision that applies to either new or used business property. Last year, 2011, we could deduct up to $500,000 on new property. And this year, the limit is $139,000. So the wiggle
that's
room.
That's a really significant change. And I remember that we had a lot of people calling in the last few years. When they talk about Section 179, they're talking about buying trucks for a trucking business or cars, big ticket items.
Exactly. I have one client who runs a tree business, who's a certified arborist, and
mm-hmm.
last year or year 2 years ago, he went out and bought a crane, a second crane.
Wow. How much was that?
That was $100,000+ combined, the truck chassis and the crane.
Wow. So you're writing off 100% of that in a year. That's pretty nice. I mean, that's a significant chunk of change.
Uh-huh. It is. So the flexibility and the amounts that can be deducted under those provisions have dropped rather dramatically in 2012 compared to 2011.
Here's a question that I've always found a little strange, because my accountant says that we write off computers for the business at the regular rate of depreciation, which is what, like 39 years or something? My computer has only last like 2 years. So how does that work exactly?
Now, computers are five-year property.
Five.
You write those off over 5 years. At your home office, you write off over 39 years. Business real estate.
Right, right. So I 5 years. Mine don't really last 5 years either. But okay, that's just, maybe I could buy a computer that lasts 5 years, but I don't know where to find one. Costco, it seems like we're there. In fact, Sam was laughing because we added a bunch of people this year to the staff. He said he felt like every week he was at Costco buying more computers, and he said, I'm just going to add up all the computers we buy. He just bought another one for $300. He's like, I'm just going to add up all of them. And all right, we've got our computers for the year and our write-off, $1,500 or something. What about Georgia? What's going on with Georgia? And I know that state stuff is all over the place, but we always have special stuff here.
Yeah, we have some really good news for seniors in Georgia. Georgia has something called a Georgia retirement exclusion. It's not just for retired people. It's for people who are either disabled or age 62 or above. The retirement exclusion is up to $35,000 total income, of which $4,000 can be earned income if people are still working and they're over 61. The other benefit is if their income is such that they are taking Social Security, and some of that may be taxable at the federal level, it's not taxed at the state level if you qualify. That's been there now for a number of years, and this year the legislature increased the number. If you're age 65 or older, the exclusion goes up to $65,000. So 65 and 65, we can remember that. Again, it's $4,000 of earned income and no taxability at Georgia on any of your federally taxed Social Security.
So
and
really,
that's per person. So if you have a married couple, it's $130,000 Georgia tax-free.
Right. Well, that's kind of nice. If you're getting 30 or 35 from Social Security, that would mean you're getting $100,000. Well, I guess you could be taking that out of your retirement account.
Yep.
You're certainly not earning that on money in the bank right now.
Exactly.
Unless you have a whole lot more, like $100 million, but which we all know who that is.
And there's been another interesting development. A legislature this year created a Georgia tax court so that primarily small businesses can go into a proper resolution of some of the issues that may come up between them and the Georgia Department of Revenue, be it state sales tax or employee tax or any of that. That kicks in January 2nd of 2013, and we're all looking forward to that because it gives us more equitable relief if, in fact, there are mistakes that can be made.
What have they had before? I thought there was always a state tax court. Or where did you go for that?
You went to the Christmas Grinch who said no.
Which is the state revenue commissioner. Or the only alternative was to go to Superior Court.
Right, to the regular state court. And then you might or you might not get a judge who actually is familiar with tax law.
Yeah.
Right. Wow, that's really interesting. How many states are like that?
Oh, that's a good question. That'd be fun research.
Don't know.
All right, for the next year. When you come back before April 15th, we can talk about what other...
We're delighted we have the tax tribunal, if you will. It appears you may not have to be an attorney to go resolve problems there.
They have a small claims division.
Nice. So you might be able to go on your own.
Right.
Here are a couple of other individual Georgia tax tips. The Georgia 529 plan,
The
parents are saving for college for their children. If they put money into the Georgia 529 plan... up to $2,000 per child is deductible on your state tax return. And then in Georgia, there's a charitable scholarship provision. Each year, the legislature authorizes several tens of millions of dollars of state tax credit, not deduction, but credit, for people who donate money
to 501c3 organizations that provide scholarships for children who are attending private schools in Georgia. So if you give up to $2,500 for a married couple, you'll get a Georgia tax credit of $2,500, dollar for dollar, plus you'll get the regular federal deduction, whatever your bracket is. So you can make up to 135% on your money.
Which is good.
But this is for 2013. It's too late for 2012 because they always hit the match. You have to get pre-approved.
Through the school.
For the credit, through the school and then to the Department of Revenue. So generally you have to make that contribution in the first half of the year because somewhere toward the end of summer they hit the limit the legislature set and there can be no more contributions.
We just have a minute left in this segment. Some quick tips for people, you know, last-minute things they can do this year. We've been promising it, and there's so much to talk about. But, Mary, why don't each of you give us just a quick one?
One thing you can do if you work for a company that offers 401k or flex plans, you can decide now how much to take out for next year. You should think about increasing that amount of deduction.
Right. Seriously, if you're going to have higher taxes after it hits your paycheck, you're going to want to do as much as you can for that. So bump it up to the max. Chet?
I would just say double-check your return when you're putting your return together because the IRS still receives thousands and thousands of returns every year with incorrect Social Security numbers, mistakes on the names, or transposed numbers in data entry. So once you think you've got it done, go back and get your source documents, your W-2, your 1099, and go through it one more time and make sure all the numbers are correct that you've entered.
All right, Bill, we're going to come to you in just a minute. Stay tuned. We've got a few more minutes to wrap up in our tax show. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned to News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and here to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on 90.
Christmas is in 2 days. Hopefully your shopping's all done. Everybody I've talked to has already spent all of their money through Amazon and other online retailers and just avoided the stores altogether this year. Not a bad plan, given that I was nearly trampled to death at the mall last week. We are in the last few minutes of our tax show. I'm so glad to have and am grateful for all the help that we've had this year from Bill Nemeth and Mary Brody and Chet Burgess, enrolled agents. You can find them online at my website, thinkglink.com. Just click on the blog. Look, go to today's entry, and there's all kinds of information there for you and links and their information and their cell phone numbers and all the rest. If you're looking for an enrolled agent, you can always go to the number 4GAEA, Georgia Association of Enrolled Agents, .org, and find somebody. All right, we just have 2 minutes left. Bill, last thoughts.
Mileage rate is going up a little bit for business use of your vehicle. In 2013, it's 56.5 cents a mile, up from 55.5 in 2012. Be aware the IRS has really increased its audit potential, and they are demanding mileage logs. Got to keep a notebook or an electronic record of where you are for business and why you're doing that. And we advocate you really keep track of that. If you, in fact, have a little excess money near the end of the year, look at kicking in for an IRA or an HSA. You've got till April 15th of 2013 to complete that donation or contribution, if you will.
And that would be for a Roth IRA as well as just a conventional IRA?
Both conventional and Roth, yes.
All right. Those all sound really good. Anything else for the end of the year? I mean, there's so much. Where do you really start?
Well, the one little tiny thing that we didn't talk about is medical deductions. Almost nobody gets them anymore because the threshold's been 7.5% of your income.
Right.
But starting in 2013, that raises up to 10%.
Oh, my goodness. So nobody will get it.
Right, right. Unless you're 65 or older, and then there's a phase-in for us older folks.
You know, I had a little surgery this year, and I was amazed to see when the bill came in that the insurance company got only paid one-third of it for the surgery. And I thought to myself, wow, if you just, you know, I guess that's the benefit of having, my health insurance plan. But I'm hoping in 2013 that we get this all straightened out and everybody gets that benefit. Because if I had to write off to get to 10%, I'm not even sure my surgery would have qualified me for it.
Uh-huh.
So it's really crazy. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a pretty confusing year. You guys taking some time off before the end of the year for this?
Yes.
Before it all starts?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I know. We're taking some time off, too. I'm going to be off next week, and we're going to have a show for you. Only my second rehashed show of the year. We're just going to call it a rehash. But well, I will be back the first week of January, and I just want to say to all of my listeners, thank you so much for being with us this year. It has been a crazy year, and we've seen, I wish we could say we were totally out of the woods, but I told you at the beginning of the year that we were going to move in the right direction, and we have. Not as fast or as far as I wish we had gone, but at least we're getting there. I'd also like to say thank you to Crystal Wheeler, who makes the show sound so amazing, and Andrew, who runs the board, and Fred, who's been around, and the team at WSB, who makes us sound so great every year, every day, so that we're here for you. All right, go to the website, get all the information, follow me on Twitter, and be here, be square, every Sunday at 11 on News Talk WSB. Merry Christmas, everybody.
95.5 FM and AM 750, News Talk WSB.